Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 109. Hello and welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. If you're tuning in for the first time, welcome. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, the Apple and Samsung rumor mill ahead of new device launches next month. The McGrath Foundation launches a new app to increase breast awareness. And iconic watchmaker Timex has launched a smartwatch with a difference. In the Tech Guide reviews, we check out the Nokia Lumia 930 smartphone and the Bluetooth selfie stick that makes taking pictures of yourself even easier. In the Tech Guide interview, we talk to Netgear founder and CEO Patrick Lowe about the Internet of Things, and we'll round it out with a Tech Guide help desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about, so let's jump straight in. Well, next month, we're anticipating some new devices being launched, namely the iPhone 6, if that's actually what it's going to be called, the new iPhone. Also, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4 will be launched. There's rumors that the launch dates of each of those products have been revealed. Apple's the iPhone 6 event is likely to take place on September the 9th. Which is in only a few weeks away. Now, with that in mind, the 9th of September, if you follow the traditional timeline, once Apple hold an event, it's not long after that then the device is actually launched. Now, in this case, if it is September the 9th, and by the way, Apple has not confirmed that yet, whether there is going to be a media event on that particular day. If it is that date, the likely on-sale date will be September the 19th. Or the 26th. It's usually the second Friday after a launch that would make it the 19th. If they did want to extend it a bit further, the following Friday would be September 26th. And Australia being one of those top-tier, first-tier countries, we'd actually get the new iPhone before the US thanks to the time difference. Now, the rumors around the new iPhone are the fact that it'll have a larger screen. There's also a strong rumor that there'll be a second iPhone with an even bigger screen. So the first one will be a 4.7-inch device, and the second, even larger iPhone, may be 5.5 inches, which is right up there in the phone tablet territory. But will it actually be called the iPhone? I've speculated on my story on Tech Guide that they may call the 4.7-inch the iPhone Air. And now with the larger screen device, that could be called the iPhone Pro. Now, if you cast your mind back to last year, the new iPad was called the iPad Air. There are also strong rumors that there may be a larger iPad introduced, a 12-inch iPad, which I'd like to bet will be called the iPad Pro. So following that pattern, those names may well apply to the new iPhone as well. So we won't know that, of course, until Apple actually have their event, and they have not confirmed that as yet, but stay tuned. We will let you know as soon as that is confirmed. But over at Samsung, there's also some rumblings about the new Galaxy Note 4. That's the larger smartphone, a very popular one in the Samsung range, that has being called the Note, of course. It comes with the S Pen, so you can write on the screen. I was actually in Berlin last year for the Unpacked event, which unveiled the Galaxy Note 3. And once again, Samsung are teasing the details. They've released an invitation to an Unpacked event once again in Berlin. That'll be the global launch ahead of IFA, the big consumer tech trade show that's held every year in Germany. And Tech Guide will be there. So hopefully we'll bring you all of those details as they're happening. But in terms of the details about the Galaxy Note 4, it will, of course, have a larger screen. We're hearing it may have a 5.9-inch Quad HD Super AMOLED screen. That's Quad HD, not 4K, but four times what you would a 720p screen would be. So that's similar to what the LG packed into the G3. One we spoke about that on last week's show, as a matter of fact. So 5.9-inch Quad HD Super AMOLED, similar to what you see on the Galaxy S5, but going with so much more real estate on the screen there, so much more space and size, they'll be able to fit in all those extra pixels. It's probably going to have a 16-megapixel camera as well and may have an octa-core, that is 8-core processor. So I think it'll also inherit the fingerprint reader that we found on the Galaxy S5, and that should be unveiled September the 3rd in Berlin. And as we said, Tech Guide will be there, so stay tuned for all that. Love these rumors this time of year. Apple are normally gearing up for their product release season, which hopefully will kick off on September 9th. I think they may confirm that probably next week sometime. So once again, keep on to techguide.com.au to keep up with these rumors. And once they are actually fact, we will let you know.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, the McGrath Foundation, which was founded by Jane McGrath, the wife of Glenn McGrath, the international cricketer, she sadly passed away from breast cancer. She was diagnosed at the age of 31. So her plight and her battle against the disease is what formed the McGrath Foundation. And ever since her early diagnosis, which was unusual, being diagnosed at 31, the whole mission of the McGrath Foundation was to try to teach awareness in young women and teach them proper breast examination, so that if there is some kind of lump or any kind of anomaly there, they can detect it quite early. And if it does happen to turn out to be cancer, the earlier the detection, the better chance the young woman will be able to survive. So with that in mind, the McGrath Foundation launched an app to help encourage this breast awareness and to give women a way, a guide on how they should properly examine their breasts, and also a way for them to note the days they've done it so they can take note of any unusual findings that they may see, and also to schedule reminders to examine themselves in the future. Now, the app is called Curve Love, in other words, L-U-R-V-E, Curve Love, but spelt Love instead. I quite like the rhyme there. But it is from the McGrath Foundation. It's a free app available for iOS and also on Android. So any young woman out there who, especially women under the age of 40, this is the time that the McGrath Foundation encourages women of that age to regularly check their breasts for any changes that they may see. And the app is a great way of reminding you to do that, a great way for you to note down any kind of unusual changes, as well as being able to keep up with the latest news and videos in this world, so you can keep up with all of that information. It does provide a lot, and there are even videos, so you're all kept up to date in this particular area. It's something that the McGrath Foundation has done a tremendous job in encouraging women in this area. And in the case of Jane McGrath, unfortunately, she passed away from breast cancer, but her legacy is to help women avoid that fate, to examine themselves early, to detect it early, and do something about it. Yes, so the Curve Love app, as it's called, is available now. It's free from the McGrath Foundation, so great idea to download. For any young women, best to keep examine your breasts regularly and take note of any changes. And the earlier, if there's anything detected, the better. You're listening to Tech Guide. Well, Timex is a very famous watchmaker, been around since the 1800s, we understand, and they've joined the 21st century with a bang with the new smartwatch. They have created their very own, but their smartwatch has a major difference. It does not need to link with a smartphone to connect to the internet. In fact, it's going to come with a built-in SIM card. This is thanks to a partnership in the US with the carrier AT&T. No announcement yet of an Australian partner, but it is Timex's first attempt, so it doesn't rely on you connecting to a smartphone to make that connection. So with a SIM card in place, you can connect to the network, you can receive emails, you can send emails, as well as viewing other notifications right there on your wrist. That connectivity, though, can also help you track your tracking capability, so you can relay your location to friends. You can also, there's also a Find Me mode, which is a way to transmit your location in the case of an event of an emergency. So your exact location can be sent through the cellular network and relayed to friends and family. Of course, it's also a sports watch, so all the bells and whistles there can measure speed, distance, pace, calculate your performance stats, and of course, you can share all of that information on social media. Now, Timex has been around for a long time. The watch is actually called the Iron Man 1 GPS Plus, and it also has an MP3 player built in with 4 gig of internal memory. So if you have your music on board, no need to connect any headphones. It'll play music wirelessly through Bluetooth headphones that are paired with the device. Now, as I said, no mention of an Australian release date. It is coming out in the fall in the US, which is our spring. So it'll be priced at about $400. If you did want to pre-order that, then go right ahead, Timex.com. You can order your own American version, but it may not work with the SIM card in Australia. Best to be patient, and hopefully this will be all released, an Aussie version will be released with a local partner, SIM card and all, here in Australia. It's about released in a couple of months, as I said, $400. If you want to see what it looks like, you can check it out at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the Nighthawk X6, the world's first tri-band router. The Nighthawk X6 R8000. Now, if you have a think about how many devices we're connecting at home, how many in your home? Is it 5? 10? If you're anything like us, it's probably over 20. If you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, this latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been a Wi-Fi router like it. Even if everyone and everything in the home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R8000 X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett.
Tech Guide.
This week, we are kicking off the Tech Guide reviews with a smartphone, and not just any old smartphone, but the Nokia Lumia 930. This is a Windows Phone device. It's running Windows Phone 8.1, as a matter of fact, the very first device to run Windows Phone 8.1. Now, Nokia is of course owned now by Microsoft, so all their devices are going to be running Windows Phone. So anyone who's in the Windows ecosystem who wants to link to their documents, to OneDrive across their computers, their laptops, and even tablets, then this operating system offers a similar look and feel and also access to all your documents and all of that important information right there in your hand. Now, design-wise, the 930 has kind of a squarish, I call it a blocky feel. It's got quite thick edges. It's nearly a centimeter thick, this device, so not as thin and light as other devices on the market, like your Galaxy S5s and your iPhones. This is 9.8 millimeters thick and weighs 167 grams, so it's slightly heavier as well. But feature-wise, the first thing you're going to see is that full high-definition clear black OLED screen. So it's got an organic light-emitting diode display. There are also three soft keys along the bottom, so back, home, and search. The screen itself, though, is very sharp, very clear, and very bright. It's also being an OLED screen. The blacks are truly black. You're watching videos or looking at your images or browsing the web. It is a great experience through that screen. Now, color-wise, just talking about design still, the colors that are available, our review unit was actually a bright fluorescent lime green color. I jokingly wrote in my review that it hurts your eyes to look at it for a long time. It is certainly bright. You will most definitely stand out in the crowd. I think another color available is a similarly bright orange color. We're a little bit more conservative here at Tech Guy. We would have preferred a black or a white. I think many readers may feel the same way. Many of my listeners may feel the same way. But if you're into color, there are plenty available. That orange and green is unmissable. Now, Nokia has always been great creators of hardware, and this has really solid build quality, and it feels really good in your hands. Now, feature-wise, apart from, obviously, Windows 8.1 and that dazzling 5-inch screen, probably the standout feature is obviously going to be the camera. There's a 20-megapixel PureView camera on board here. It's also got a dual flash. Now, Nokia has always created excellent cameras on their mobile devices. I remember about 10 years ago, Nokia unveiling the world's first 1-megapixel camera on their mobile phone. That was 10 years ago, would you believe? We've come such a long way. Now we're talking 20-megapixel, and the camera is brilliant. There's some sample photos of that I took with the device on my review on Tech Guide. Clear, bright, whether it's a landscape shot, close-ups, the flash also illuminates very well. It is a terrific camera. Also, apart from that, you can use it in auto mode, but then if you want to use it in manual mode, there's several areas where you can control, including ISO, white balance, things like that. You can take full control. So if you prefer to go a bit more hands-on with your photographs, if you are into photography and you're looking to buy a smartphone, then I'd have a look at this device as well. The Nokia Lumia is it's got a quad-core 2.2 gigahertz processor. I think the battery will let it down a little bit. 20 milliamp battery, a little bit smaller than batteries on products of a similar size. In fact, being a bigger device, I thought that it'd be an even bigger battery, but that's not the case. A couple other things we thought were obviously noticeably missing, would have been nice to have them, was the micro SD card slot. There's no way to expand the memory. There's 32 gigabytes already built in, but no way to expand that any further through a micro SD card. They do, though, allow you an extra 7 gigabytes of cloud storage using their OneDrive, but for some, that may not be enough. Now, the fact that it's running Windows Phone 8.1, your app choices are not going to be as wide as you would have on iOS and Android. Now, obviously, all your major apps like your Facebooks and Twitters and Instagrams and Vine and all these other apps, they are available. But there is a host of others that are very popular on iOS and Android that are not. So I think best before, if you're deciding to buy this device and you're attached to a few apps, best thing to do would be to check the Windows Store to make sure you can actually download if there is an app that exists that runs on Windows Phone 8.1. The Lumia 930, it's priced at $729. And if you want to read my complete review, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, here's a product for those who love to take selfies. Those selfies are those pictures of yourself captured with your smartphone. It's a growing phenomena, the selfie phenomena, and many people, because they've got a smartphone, they've got that front-facing camera, a lot of people like to indulge in the practice. Well, we've got a product here that'll make that practice even easier. It's called the Bluetooth Selfie Stick. And what it is, it's basically a monopod with an extendable pole. It's also got a clip on the end that will fit devices, even devices up to the size of a Galaxy Note 3. So any smartphone that you can fit will clip into that on the end of the aluminium pole. And you can position it either to, so the front-facing camera, you can see the screen. But this is a monopod with a difference. It's got Bluetooth on board, and what you do is pair the selfie stick with your smartphone, whether it's an Android, whether it's an iOS device, or a Windows phone. Bluetooth is Bluetooth, so it will connect. And what you do is, once it is connected, there is a button that then allows you to activate the shutter without you having to touch the device. So wirelessly, you can activate the shutter. So with your phone at the end of your selfie stick, you can aim it, check out that your image is okay, that you're lined up, all your friends are in the shot perhaps, and all you need to do is press the button on the handle to activate the shutter. But it gets even better for Android users. Android users, when their device is paired to the Bluetooth selfie stick, it allows them, there's a plus and minus key on the handle that allows them to zoom in and out on their photo. So you can adjust your picture even more before deciding to hit the capture key on the handle as well. Of course, you could use it to not only take selfies, you could also use it to capture regular photographs. You may want to shoot above the heads of people in a concert, or you may need, you're a builder, you need to photograph an air conditioning duct or something like that. So you can use it to take regular photos. The fact that your phone is on the end of a nearly meter long aluminium pole can put your phone in a position that you can't put it without it. So unless you've got a meter long arm, it's not going to be, you're not going to get anywhere near what the Bluetooth selfie stick can reach for your photographs. The device is $49.95 and available from mrmobile.net.au. $49.95 if you're a selfie user, selfie taker. It's pretty good. By the way, it also has, you can unscrew the clip that holds your smartphone, and you'll find your regular quarter inch screw there, so you can fit in, you can actually attach a regular camera, a GoPro camera, so it's similar to the screw you'll find on the top of a tripod. So it's that standardized fitting, so you can securely have a dedicated digital camera, a GoPro as well on the end of your Bluetooth selfie stick. So if you're into taking your pictures, look, you don't have to take them of yourself. You can take photos of yourself in a group. You can take pictures of yourself in front of some kind of landmark on your travels. It is a decent little product, this one, and reasonably priced, $49.95. Offers a lot of convenience. Your selfie's going to look better than ever. And the beauty is, too, that it can shrink down once the pole is collapsed. It's a telescopic pole. It's only 22 centimeters long, so easy to fit in your bag when you're heading out on your travels. If you want to check out the pictures of what the Bluetooth selfie stick looks like and read my story, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Tech Guide.
Well, we caught up once again with the Netgear CEO, Patrick Lowe. He was in Australia for a few corporate events, and we decided to catch up with him and talk all things wireless, all things tri-band routers. We discussed the Nighthawk X6, of course, and we discussed another thing that we're hearing a lot of lately, the Internet of Things. What is the Internet of Things? Well, we decided to ask Patrick Lowe himself, and here's what he had to say.
Well, Patrick, thanks for joining us once again. Welcome back to Australia. This is your second home, I think.
Pretty much. I love this place so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about the Nighthawk X6 and tri-band. So you're the world's first manufacturer of tri-band router. Do we really need three bands in our home?
Well, definitely. What we see is the progress of Internet of Things in the house. We did a survey in the U.S. that most of the households today with 9 devices connected to the Internet. And among these 9 devices, they come with all speed. Some are really old, still on 11N, on 2.4 gigahertz. Some are on the more advanced 11AC, such as gaming consoles and TVs. So it's a hodgepodge of stuff. But we know, I mean, from a technology standpoint, the speed of the Wi-Fi is as fast as the slowest device on the network.
So that's a little known fact, isn't it, that the slowest device on your networks is going to slow it down for everybody.
Absolutely right. So if you have a legacy device like an old laptop running 11N, that's going to drag down the speed. Or even, I mean, it's not uncommon to see these days in the U.S. in a normal household that you buy a Chromebook for your kid, you know, if they're in K, you know, to five. And that's going to slow down the network while maybe your high school kid is trying to do gaming. So you clearly want to separate them. Right. And furthermore, in the Internet of Things, you are going to have a lot of Wi-Fi devices, which like a Wi-Fi thermostat, which is not going to generate high speed, right? This is very slow speed, and that's going to drag down the entire network's speed. So we believe that we've got to have, you know, a tri-band, one specifically for the very low data rate Wi-Fi devices, such as thermostats, such as light switches, such as blind openers. And then you have the medium speed, which are primarily for what we call the entry-level 11AC devices. And then you have another band that would be for the really super fast video download or gaming. That's where the tri-band comes in.
And the device can also, it can intelligently delegate the network for the faster devices, can't it?
Correct. So we offer a solution which is automatic. So for most people who don't want to be bothered with on assigning devices to specific band, we have this smart connect capability that we will gauge on the usage of the device and its technology and or AC, and then put it on the right band so to maximize the overall throughput of the home network.
Okay. There's talk that Netflix is going to launch here next year, a video streaming service. So having a device like the X6, that'll enable Netflix to work quite efficiently in your home, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. I would absolutely use one of the higher band to be dedicated to video download or streaming for Netflix and for all your smart TVs or your tablets. Mm-hmm. So definitely that would be a beneficial addition, you know, to the household environment.
Yeah, sure. You mentioned the Internet of Things. That's a term we're hearing a lot lately. And with the proliferation of devices that can connect to the internet from your thermostats and light switches, as you mentioned, how do you explain to a consumer that people ask, with the Internet of Things, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean to you? So how do you explain that in simple terms to a customer?
Well, I mean, the Internet of Things have always been a vision of Netgear from the day we established Netgear, because our mission was to connect everything that is electrically powered to the internet. So that's what Internet Things is all about. So that's why what we're seeing right now is people are starting to connect the air conditioning, the heating systems to the internet through the Wi-Fi thermostat. Today we have Wi-Fi thermostats from startups such as Nest, now is bought by Google, or from GE or from Honeywell. You know, so the beautiful thing about connecting the thermostat, or thus the home heating system, through the internet to the cloud, so that you will be able to control it from your tablet or from your mobile phone anywhere in the world, is that, one, it really significantly facilitates the efficient energy use. So when you're not at home, you don't have to turn it up or turn it down. When you're approaching your house, then you will be able to start, you know, heating it up or cooling it off. Without that, a lot of people just turn it on, turn it off for the whole day. So not only that, it's not very energy efficient, and second, it's not very comfortable. So I think, so that is, you know, a big help. So what we have surveyed in the U.S. is when people look for home automation today, the number one objective is safety.
Yeah. All right.
The number two objective is actually energy efficiency and comfort. So those are the two areas most people would aspire to.
Well, that's surprising, because you'd think convenience would be making things easier. So you say it's safety. It's what was the other one you mentioned?
It's comfort and convenience.
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, first, safety is understandable.
Yeah, sure.
All right. People are buying, you know, sensors. People are buying cameras to both monitor the security of the house, of their houses, as well as the safety of their children, mostly, sure. And some about pets. So, for example, a typical example of usage of our camera is while the adults were, you know, watching Netflix, you know, in the living room, the baby is sleeping in the baby's bedroom. They would like to have a monitoring camera to look at the baby, so at the same time they know whether the baby's sleeping well or they have to attend to. So that's a typical example of what we call safety. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing is what we talk about is energy efficiency and comfort. The two are together. So recently, what we see is other than the thermostat, we see a lot of people buying into the electric bulbs, you know, the intelligent bulbs. Electric light switches. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. I mean, a lot of people would say, okay, I could leave the door lights on, you know, all day long, so when I get home, I don't get dark. Or, you know, other people would say, you know, otherwise I would get into a garage door and then and try to kind of move around and get to the light switch, right? Yeah. But if you could remotely control it, it's great, mm-hmm. all right? So you could have the cell phone when you approach the house, press a button, boom. Mm-hmm. The light switch goes on.
So did you, like, this went, like, you've been, Neptune's been around for a long time. Did you envisage all those years ago that Wi-Fi is going to one day connect to a light switch and it's one day going to connect to a thermostat? Like, that's some kind of vision, isn't it, that it is reality today? But, boy, it would have, people would have thought you had rocks in your heads for thinking you're going to control a light switch with Wi-Fi back then.
Well, as a matter of fact, you know, we envisioned that's going to happen eventually. When we first established Netgear, as I said, at that time, our mission was everything that's powered by electricity should be connected to the internet. But at that point in time, we had no clue why people want to do that.
Yeah.
All right. As time progresses, as we could see over the last 15, 16 years, energy efficiency has been a bigger issue than before. So clearly people would like to, well, because of the price of energy has gone way up.
Yes.
So people would like to save energy. And also the awareness of the climate change, save the earth, people are more concerned about it. So anything that would help to automate the house so that we could minimize the usage of energy would be helpful.
Yeah.
And then secondly, once you extend beyond that, then people thought about security, thought about comfort. So there are many things that's happening right now. So, for example, there are a lot of operators or service providers are looking into monitoring not for babies, but for senior adults.
Yes.
All right. So a lot of people, you know, towards you know, senior ages, they want to stay in their house. Mm-hmm. They don't want to live in an institution. They don't want to burden their kids. But then on the other hand, the kids really would like to make sure that they're safe in their own house.
Mm-hmm.
So some type of monitoring, like motion monitoring, camera, and all that for the senior adults would be the future, mm-hmm. that we're seeing that service coming through.
Sure thing. And it seems to me that the message that's sort of coming out is that Wi-Fi isn't just to connect to the internet and just to download stuff. It's to enable all these other things in our homes. And give us all those things you mentioned, better quality of life, comfort, safety, and all that.
Oh, yes.
So, once again, Patrick, it's been a pleasure chatting to you again, and appreciate you joining us here on Tech Guide.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Well, we got an interesting question through the forums earlier today, and it was a question from an Android user asking, how do you make video calls using an Android device? Now, it's not like iPhone have FaceTime, which works only between iOS devices, so iPhone to iPhone, iPhone to iPad, iPhone to Mac, and so on, and vice versa. But it was a question was asked, so the reader had a HTC One M8 and asked the question, how do I make video calls on an Android device? And there's a few ways you can do it. One, the most obvious one for us would be to use Skype. Skype is available for you to download on your Android device. And if anyone else has Skype, whether it's on a computer, whether it's on a Windows phone, whether it's on an iPhone, you can then, and this person is on your contact list, you can make a video call to that person on their device or onto their computer. So that's one way of doing it. Another way of doing it is Google Hangouts. That's another video calling method. And being an Android device, which is created by Google, it's pretty easy to go into a Google Hangout, create a Google Hangout, and be able to talk to each other face to face. Another app we've heard of too is called Uvu, which is 00V00. Again, an Android app that allows you to make face-to-face video calls using your device. So we hope that answers your question. There's not just one way, there's several ways. They're just three of the ways you can do it. So video calling on Android, it's possible. So best to comb your hair and put on the makeup, because the calls, the person on the other end is going to see what you're going to look like. It's a video call after all, people. And that's our show for another week. You can read more about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. You can also follow me on Twitter. I'm at Stephen Fennec, and that's Stephen spelt with a PH. A special thanks, too, to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, as we always say, stay safe. And stay connected.